horsing around once again. It's mid-April, Friday the 13th weekend, and kind of a lull week a little bit for the Broncos because, of course, the players come back for off-season workouts next week, so things will start to heat up then and the draft right after that. This week, pretty quiet. The personnel people are down in the bunker at the UC Health Training Center doing draft stuff, draft evaluations, draft prep. Really, what has people talking this week is something relatively insignificant, but it's just kind of cool to know. Preseason schedule.
Yeah, so the board's getting put together is what you're telling me.
Oh, yes. It's what happened.
Board is going together.
Yes.
Have you thought about being a master of disguise, sneaking into the meetings? I call you Little Ditka sometimes when you get that sweater going. Can you start looking official like you belong in there?
I don't know that my mastery of disguise would allow me to get in there. I think once I talked, my voice would give me away. I can't do good impressions.
You can't pull off a Wade Phillips look, get that old Broncos sweater going.
Ooh.
You'd have to get some padding in order to maybe be as, you know, round as Wade
robust.
Was. But, yeah, robust is a good term. You talked about the preseason schedule. How about the regular season schedule when the Rams are going to be on it? I can't remember. I think we saw. Are they coming here? I can't remember
They're
if I saw.
They're coming here, and I've got to say, I think that one has prime time written all over it, whether it's Thursday night, Sunday night, or Monday night. That one seems likely to end up under the lights.
Hey, I don't want to veer too far from the preseason schedule, but since you brought it up, I think we all discussed it a little bit on the show yesterday. You bring up the perfect scenario. If it were to be the Broncos and Rams on a Thursday night, Fox has promised that we're going to get sexier matchups. That was one of the notes on Pro Football Talk yesterday. Yep. On Wednesday, as Thursday is the day we're recording this. Andrew, I don't know about you, but as you get later into the year, you want to give me some sexy, more intriguing, maybe some unusual matchups, we'll put it as. Give it to me in the first 6 weeks. But after Halloween, to me, those almost have to be divisional games. A, because players are so beat up. And B, I just don't want – like, I hated the Broncos scenario last year when they had to go play the Colts, go two time zones. It was a short week. And at the beginning of the year, it looked like that. You and I were talking, doing podcasts, thinking, was that going to be a playoff game? Could that be for playoff matchups? Could that be for a wild card? We didn't know, and I don't want those kind of matchups that late in the year. I just don't think you have enough time to get ready for it. I don't think it's fair.
I've always preferred divisional games on Thursday night. And I did not like the fact the Broncos had to travel two time zones. Yes, Indianapolis is the closest team that's two time zones off. I get that, but I did not like that game that week. I prefer divisional games. And now you're hearing on Thursday Night Football that they may just throw everything out entirely and say, hey, you can go cross country and play a game on Thursday night. And if they're doing that, I sure as heck hope the team involved with it that has to travel has a bye week the previous week.
Well, our buddy Tyler Palumbis, and you've suggested some form of this too, Tyler had suggested that we ought to just do a bye week in front of Thursday night football, and then all will be okay. You'll have plenty of time to be rested and ready to go. And then, of course, you get the 10-day week after, so that doesn't affect anything. I asked him, what do you do about the first week, though, because it's impossible to do it the first week. And we had a texter suggest, fine, do two Thursday night games to open the NFL season. Take the second week off, get it going from there.
Or go to an 18-week schedule. Which I think is coming if they stay with 16 games. If they are that committed to Thursday night football.
Which they appear to be with that kind of money, right?
Yeah, this is not going away. Thursday night football, like it or not, fans, is here to stay. And to me, it's a matter of how do you make it work for the product? How do you make it work better for the players, most importantly? And a bye week before Thursday game seems the most logical way to do it.
Yeah, you've got to do it because the quality of football has got to get better. Because you and I know it really doesn't matter which two teams' helmet you throw up there as the matchup. If the football is not going to be fun to watch, and frankly it hasn't been in recent years, no one's going to really tune in and get the ratings that you want to keep that thing being lucrative.
But if the football is fun to watch, go back to that 49er-Ram game early in the season. The Rams had a lot of question marks at the time. They had not yet broken out. The 49ers, you know, were in the midst of a terrible start. But there they were on Thursday Night Football in September playing a whale of a game. If you've got a compelling game, even if it's two teams that are a little bit off the radar at that point, people are going to be entertained.
We love our football, but we love our good football.
Yes.
So I think you're probably right. Some more tweaks, I think, are definitely coming with this.
No more color rush, apparently.
Yeah, I wanted to bring that up, too. Thank God. Well, no more forced color rush.
Teams that, may still do it.
I hope they don't.
But not on Thursday. It could be Sunday.
Yeah, they're saying that the color rush could just become one of your alternative uniforms you're allowed to wear.
And if it's not a color rush plan, then I say, here's my idea. Keep that uniform for the Broncos, except wear white pants with the orange jersey.
That wouldn't be bad.
I like that as another alternate uniform.
The jerseys and the helmets for the Broncos in their color rush uniform scheme, both were definitely popular. Fans liked the jersey. They liked the helmet for sure. Now, you know what I like? You and I have kind of promoted this in the past, too. And we had a texter say this, and I'm fully on board with it. I'd love just to see the classic throwback Thursdays.
Yes.
Somebody said Thursday should be throwback uniform night.
If they get rid of the one helmet rule, then that would be perfect. That was actually I had the idea of like that 2 or 3 years ago.
You're a man before your time.
Well, you're playing off Twitter, TBT, throwback Thursday.
Yeah,
perfect. Love it. You know, you're getting social media involved with it. How fun would it be visually to see Broncos Chargers? And they're both wearing their uniforms from, say, the late 70s.
Well, what about Bronco Patriots? Where it's the mm-hmm. D now. It's the D from the 80s.
And Pat the Patriot.
And Pat the Patriot versus that brown thing that they had on the last time the two did a throwback.
Well, then, even though it's a non-divisional game in 2020, I would be rooting for Broncos Bucks as a throwback so you could see the D on the Bronco helmets and Bucko Bruce as the Bucks fans affectionately, not so affectionately, call the logo.
It wasn't PD the Pirate there?
Bucko Bruce. The winking pirate.
Yeah, with his little feather in his cap. Ponce de Leon. Are you sure Ponce de Leon isn't looking for rights to that logo?
It was actually supposed to be based off of Errol Flynn.
Really?
Yes, Errol Flynn was, I think, there was a movie called The Buccaneer that Errol Flynn was in. And that's where the idea came. Lamar Sparkman, he was the artist for the Tampa Tribune, was asked to design a pirate logo that evoked Errol Flynn a little bit, and that's how he came up with that logo with the wink. And hey, but to me, you got to be dadgum tough to wink when you've got a dagger between your teeth.
Yeah, I think your winking logo could have been the logo for a lot of other things going on, but
hey, now
football team wouldn't have been on my top five.
Anyway. We're going to talk about preseason.
Yes, so I'm going to bring it back. Get you away for Bucky the Buck or whatever he was.
Bucko Bruce.
Buck or whatever he is.
Bucko Bruce.
Petey the Pirate.
Yes. Back on the preseason. 1, 2, 3, 4. Vikings at home. Bears at home. At Washington. At Arizona. At Arizona, last game of the preseason.
Are you a little surprised, though, that one stayed? Because last time they played the NFC West, remember, 3, 4 years ago now, they ended up finishing with Dallas that year, so as not to. But was that because Arizona was an early game?
But also, well, maybe, but Seattle was an early game, and that didn't prevent the Broncos from playing the Seahawks in the first week of that preseason.
Did they play the Niners that year, too?
Yes, it was the opening game of their new stadium.
I guess it's all just about the contracts, right? Because then you contract out these preseason games, don't you?
The league arranges some. The one that is always completely set by the teams themselves is the last game. For instance, a lot of teams are thinking geographic proximity. Carolina and Pittsburgh, that's about an hour flight over the Appalachian Mountains. And they've played each other at the end of every preseason for, I think, 18, 19 years now. Arizona, the distinction that the Cardinals have for the Broncos is, aside from the Chiefs, and you don't want to play a divisional opponent in the last week of the preseason, aside from the Chiefs, Arizona is the next closest team to Denver. So it's a relatively short flight for both teams. And the other thing is, to me, they shouldn't have worried about, you're going to play Arizona early in the season, for this reason. The last preseason game, you're sitting most of your starters. You're not really showing anything you're going to show in the regular season.
Yeah, it's barely a football game. Let's just
and we don't know what the
saying that because guys' jobs are on the line.
And we don't know what the regular season is. For all we know, the schedule may have Denver playing at Arizona in week one. Wouldn't that be something? The Broncos go to Arizona twice in 10 days.
Just stay down there, soak up the heat. Yeah, I doubt that.
Yeah, that's what you really want. No, I think everyone's getting on a plane and coming home. In fact, in that case, maybe I'm not even traveling my starters to the preseason finale. I'm just saying, oh, you guys, stay back in Denver. You know, whatever.
That'd be the way to go. Now, when do we find out the schedule? Are we a week away or so from getting the schedule?
It should be. We usually learn the schedule before the draft. And I don't think that the NFL wants to do it draft week. So my guess is by the next time we talk, Andy, we'll be talking schedule.
Plus, they need something. I mean, the free agency period's kind of quieted down at this point. It's a perfect filler for that week right before the draft when everybody goes nuts.
It's always amazing to me that on the day they release the regular season schedule, that you've got usually NBA playoffs, NHL playoffs, and yet that becomes the primary topic of conversation in the sports world. A schedule release. It sort of tells you about the hammer lock that the NFL has on sports, on at least sports media in this country.
Well, and it's also because there's 16 of them. I work at a station. I worked at a station,
KOA. But you're talking
KOA.
About a schedule versus actual games.
No, I know,
of high importance going on that night.
Here's when the first lesson I was taught about the NFL was from an old program director, which is basically your office manager, the head of the office, for those that aren't familiar with radio terms. His name was Don Martin. Great guy. He produced the Bronco games, but he's also in charge of KOA, in charge of putting on the Broncos and the Rockies and the Buffs. And he said, he always said, the NFL schedule every Sunday is a big event because there's only 16 of them. It's like the big party that you throw for everybody. Whereas baseball, you know, it's a casual get-together. It's that Sunday barbecue that you know everybody's having. The NFL's, it's a different deal. Every game is a big event because there's so few of them.
Which is why the actual, not even an actual game, but telling people when these big events are going to be, that's still bigger than an NBA or an NHL playoff game.
Well, because we plan our social calendar around them. I had a group before I got into this business, and I'm sure you were probably the same. I've said it on the air. I grew up in a football household. The Broncos were a religion there, and we planned our social calendar around what the game times were that Sunday. You would make plans what mass, what when you were going to church as to when the Broncos. If it was an early game, you were going to an early church service.
So people probably hate flexible scheduling. That means you can take an early game and make it a late game.
Yeah.
Take a late game, make it a prime time game. Take a prime time game that's a dud and make it a 2:25 game. That probably drives them insane.
You got it. Well, I had a group that used to just come over no matter what. It was just a matter of what time's the game starting and are we doing a lunch or are we doing a dinner, you know?
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'm sure for a lot of people they don't love the flexible scheduling, but – you know, it is what it is. The NFL is the event that we all gather around during the fall and winter and our summer. It's why these other leagues, Andrew, and I do want to get back to the preseason schedule that I keep diverting you from. But
that's okay.
It's like you're doing a show with me. Now you know how Tyler feels. Anyway, this is why these other leagues, you can keep doing it all you want. The reality is, unless your league is in the fall, you're not overtaking college or pro football. In the fall, we are seeking something to do on the chilly afternoon. In the spring, in the summer, you and I saw it. We both have been around the Arena Football League. Guess what? It doesn't work. You know why? It's fine in the winter.
People want to be outside.
Yep. In the winter, it's fine. I got nothing to do. But as soon as it gets hot when you're playing your playoffs, I'm not here for you.
Which is why Arena Football, when it succeeded, it tended to do best in Florida. Tampa Bay and Orlando did pretty well at the gate because it's the reverse in Florida of the rest of the country. In Florida, in the summertime, you want to be inside in the air conditioning. It's October to April that you're outside. Whereas here in Colorado, you don't want to go inside on a beautiful May Sunday afternoon. You want to be outside and enjoying the sun. It's one reason why the Rockies draw well even when they're struggling.
Oh, more yeah. No more perfect environment to watch a baseball game. There's no humidity. There's always beautiful sunsets. And, of course, you're going to travel from whatever. You know, you Chicagoans are going to come attack us because you don't want to sit in Wrigleyville while it's muggy as hell and have your beer. It's probably a little stretch.
Or
more of the White Sox, right?
Hey, well,
were there 975 people the other day?
974 people.
As a devout baseball fan, you had to be offended to your core that only that many showed up.
Well, the weather was lousy, but I think that I sat in worse at Coors Field for the Rockies home opener against the Braves. It was
oh,
colder.
Yeah. Hey, hats off. Go to at Mace Denver. Check his timeline. None of us wanted to be outside the other day. We were trying to cancel lacrosse practice, although we ended up having to go out and endure it anyway. And there's Mace. Opening day, it's a little chilly, but I love it. And I was like, dude, you are crazy.
I stayed till the end.
Oh, I knew you would.
Oh, yeah.
I knew you would.
Now, by the end, I'm not sure there were more than about 3,000 fans left at Coors Field.
And your team
out.
Was winning. Let's not gloss over that fact.
It was funny how it got to 7-3. I believe it was in the top of the sixth. And it was a mad dash for the exits after that. People were like, oh, we're good.
Did you have a good time, though?
Oh, I had a great time. It's a great weekend series. Enjoyed it. I mean, Braves won 2 out of 3. So, personally, I was happy about that. Now I can go back to pulling for the Rockies against everybody else. I mean, I admit I'm a baseball bigamist. I've been in Denver long enough to have developed some affection for the Rockies, but it's not going to supersede what I have for Atlanta, which goes back to when I was 6. So that's just how it is. But good series. Took the family to the Sunday game. We all got Charlie Blackman bobbleheads. My kid was thrilled about that. It was a nice sunny day, albeit a bit windy then. Loved it. I'm glad it's baseball season. Now let me ask you this, Andy. Are you going to try the Rocky Mountain Po' Boy?
No. No idea that that had even come into existence. What the heck is on it?
The Rocky Mount. Well, first of all, it's a
Am
Rocky.
Should I be afraid?
Well.
Is Rocky Mountain oysters involved? Oh, my God.
No, I'm not. It's.
No.
Rocky Mountain oysters, which, of course, are deep-fried bull testicles, for those of you who aren't in the know, topped with garlic slaw, guacamole, green chili ranch, pico de gallo, and cheese on a po' boy roll.
Yeah, you could drown that thing in queso. Still not eating it.
I'm going to give it a shot. But I've had Rocky Mountain oysters on 2 occasions at Coors Field before, and I didn't vomit either time.
Are they always deep fried?
Yeah. At least the way they do them.
I can't believe the way you're looking at me right now. I almost wish this was on video. You're like, no big deal, wimp. What's your deal? I'll eat some Rocky Mountain oysters. I'm going to video you. Will you give me some heads up? We need to go down together.
Yeah, I'll
And this
do it.
Needs to become somehow website material. I'm not sure where.
Live broadcast material.
Oh, good luck. Good luck. Are you good at holding your language if you don't like the taste of something?
Yeah, I am.
That's
good.
A whole lot of stuff piled on top of there.
I would rather have the Rocky Mountain oysters than one of the things they're offering. I believe it's in Cincinnati here. And I've been a proponent of Cincinnati, getting some insults about it, but I am not going to have the Queen City fried garlic bologna.
Ugh.
So it's bologna with spicy mustard. I'm not having that at a Reds game. I'm sorry.
Hats off to Sports Authority Field at Mile High for not having to have any of this stuff. You know what I am looking forward to in June?
They have different things. I love the street tacos that they added last year.
Yeah. Who doesn't love a street taco?
But I was also disappointed that they took away. They used to have a stand on the club level on the east side where you could get burritos, and then they stopped doing the burritos last year. I was very disappointed.
Well, maybe we need to bring it back. Maybe we need to petition somebody.
I would get a green chili chicken burrito, and I would get some green chili smother on top.
You know what I love?
Standard pregame meal for me. I loved it.
I love barbecue, Andrew Mason.
Yes, I know you do.
And there's going to be a great barbecue event going on in June that we'll tell people about later on.
Yes.
As the food segments roll on. What food do you think you'll be having when the Broncos open against the Vikings at Sports Authority Field in Mile High the first weekend of August?
I don't know, but I remember in The Naked Gun, Frank Drebin talked about knowing a place that served great Viking food. And if I could find a place that served great Viking food,
yeah,
I'd be down. I guess maybe you think of like Minnesota, Nordic, you're talking about some venison, some lutefisk.
Yeah, no, no.
Hot dish. That's basically like a casserole type of thing.
You know what? They actually have some great bar food. I went there during my college years, and they've got the cheese balls that are pretty good.
Cheese
curds.
That
I know is kind of a
cheese ball, and of course cheese curds, which are associated more with Wisconsin.
Right, but Minnesota.
Also, I had some good cheese curds in Minnesota during Super Bowl week.
There's some great nightlife there, and there needs to be. It's cold all the time. You want to talk about not wanting to be outside? That's Minnesota.
Yeah. And anyway, Minnesota.
Their one-month summer is fantastic, I hear.
And they're going to come to Denver during their one-month summer when they play the Vikings in the preseason opener. Talk about the storylines. I mean,
oh, my gosh.
Kirk Cousins, Case Keenum, two coveted free agents. They'll be on the field. Trevor Siemian and Kyle Sloter come back to Denver.
That's what's so funny about this, Andrew, is the fact that we'll barely see Kirk Cousins, if at all, you'd have to guess.
Maybe and one series.
Your old quarterbacks will be in town. How about that?
I wonder what sort of reaction Trevor Siemian will receive from fans.
I hope a good one.
I hope he doesn't get booed. He didn't do anything to get booed.
No, he didn't. He played his guts out for you. And anybody, I'd love to show you pictures of that shoulder after he got hurt in Tampa Bay. For anybody that doesn't realize, that guy wanted nothing more than to be your long-term answer quarterback. It didn't work out. We've all moved on. Doesn't mean you got to boo the guy.
Yeah. And moving on, I think, was the best for all parties. Best for the Broncos, best for Trevor Siemian. I think there's still the potential for him to have a career trajectory that looks a bit like Josh McCown or Ryan Fitzpatrick. And down the line emerge as a solid starter and kind of vacillate between starter and backup. I think he can still have a very long career in this league. Obviously, it would have been great if it worked out in Denver, because then you wouldn't be looking at some of the questions that the Broncos have had the last couple of years. But it happened as it did. You have to move on. Still, you know, I hope he gets a proper reception. Now, I know Kyle Sloter is going to get a standing ovation.
Oh, he'll have a cheering section.
Based on the calls
and
texts. We still get them from time to time on first and 10 at 10.
Who's more popular, Kyle Sloter or Chad Kelly in your mind
right now?
Right now,
Chad Kelly.
Are you sure? Because I still get the, why did you let go of Kyle Sloter?
But the unknown guy, the third guy is always going to be popular. I remember people calling for Bradley Van Pelt to get a shot. Tom Brandstater.
Well, who doesn't love
Darryl
little Tom
Hackney.
Brandstater?
People called for Darryl Hackney.
I don't even remember Darryl Hackney.
It's from UAB, sub 6 foot, strong arm. He had unusually long arms for a guy with sub 6 feet.
You're describing Elvis Dumervil right
now.
That
too, yeah.
But he played quarterback.
Yeah.
Okay. The Darryl Hackney era, we hardly knew you.
Everywhere. I remember in Tampa in 1998 being at a game. The Bucks had Trent Dilfer and Steve Walsh as the one and the two, and there were people parading around the upper deck with a banner that said, "We want Milanovic." Scott Milanovic, the third teamer, was not in uniform.
I can understand it. Who doesn't want to see a little Scott Milanovic in your afternoon Sunday football game? Huh?
It's human nature to desire the unknown, because there's nothing bad on the guy.
See, I will say this. I am at least curious to watch Chad Kelly in OTAs, because the kid's athletic prowess was not the issue. Now, you know, he's got to get whatever figured out. He's got to take football more seriously. By all accounts here in Denver, we've not heard anything written or said, so it appears that he's doing it. But I am curious to see what he brings to the table. Now, I don't know what kind of quarterback battle he'll be embroiled in, if at all. We don't even know the depth chart yet. Until we know who the number 5 pick is, and is that a quarterback or is that a position player?
Or if they move up.
Yep, we don't know. We just don't know.
Or if they take a quarterback later. Let's say they trade down and take a quarterback later in round one or early in round two.
Yeah, well, then it gets real interesting, because to me, if you take a later quarter, let's say you take a Luke Falk, someone who's been rumored to be kind of the later guy available, or even a Kyle LaLetta that's gotten plenty of airtime in Orange and Blue 716, intriguing kid, then all of a sudden, does Paxton have to battle Chad for the backup spot? I don't know. I think it'd be a little unlikely, but that could be the storyline that plays out.
It would be fascinating. But Chad Kelly, I'll tell you what, it's not just the athletic stuff I like about him. It's when he rolls out and sets up to throw deep, does a great job of keeping his eyes downfield. Allowed him to complete some deep passes that way. Now, you just hope that the rest of it with Chad Kelly is in order. If it is, he could be a steal. I like taking him in the 7th round just because, hey, why not? Get him, see where he goes. You do not build your plan around Chad Kelly. I mean, some fans may disagree with me on this, but I'm a realist. I am not, if Baker Mayfield is available, I am not passing on Baker Mayfield because I have Chad Kelly. Or even Paxton Lynch.
Here's the problem. See, we did this today. I need to go, how about I check poll results as we talk now? It's no poll result like you guys get. You guys are famous for your first and 10 of 10 polls. But we had asked the question.
I also have a lot more followers on Twitter than our Orange and Blue.
You're just going to get that in, aren't you?
No, we just got to work on it. We got to get Orange Blue 760 on Twitter up. So that's at OrangeBlue760. Follow us on Twitter.
Well, I'll tell you this. We got the 300 votes. That's pretty good. We had asked the question, if for some reason the four quarterbacks are gone, I think it's a little far-fetched, but could happen, and you get your choice of any one of the other players, Saquon Barkley, Quentin Nelson, Bradley Chubb, or I've heard tremendous things about Denzel Ward in the last 24 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, if they're the ones available and you don't have a quarterback to choose from, who would you go with? Everyone said Saquon Barkley, then Chubb, then Nelson. Denzel Ward only got 2% of the vote here in my little unscientific poll. Let me throw it at you. Let's say Chubb's off the board because it seems that there's great intrigue into Chubb by both the Browns and the Giants. And we know the Browns aren't taking two quarterbacks. Are you telling me you're going to take Mayfield over a Barkley, a Nelson? Denzel Ward, I'll kind of – Tyler basically told me he'd be just – despite how good a player he knows Denzel to be, he doesn't want them to take a cornerback. He wants an offensive player. Are you taking Mayfield over the other, quote-unquote, generational guys if it's those three and Mayfield?
I am, but I think Mayfield could be a generational quarterback. At least for where football is going, the types of throws that Baker Mayfield does best are the bread and butter of what you have to do to succeed in the NFL at this level. And when he does have to throw deep, it's there. I mean, he may not have the raw arm strength of a Josh Allen, but he's accurate. He can make plays. He's efficient. And he changes the attitude of a team. And I think that he's going to put in the film work and the practice work.
So then let me ask you this.
And I can get a good running back in round two or round three. Maybe not Saquon Barkley. But look, last year Leonard Fournette, he had an outstanding season with Jacksonville.
Kansas City kid, Kareem Hunt.
Kareem Hunt fourth was rounder. A day two. Alvin Kamara was a day two pick. There's value to be had at running back. And at guard,
here's the thing, though. Quentin Nelson is hard for me because he is clearly better than everybody else in the class.
He is a generational talent at guard. But what player could make the most difference long term in your prospects if you hit at number five, a quarterback or a guard?
Let me throw this at you then.
I notice you're not answering the question.
Well, to me, I'm going Quentin Nelson. But I'm not going to be upset if they take Baker Mayfield. I'm not as in love with him as you are. But to be honest with you, man, look, I've talked to enough people. I'm not sure who the right prospect is. I was on Darnold for a while, but now one of my guys that I listen to very heavily has just decided he can't handle the turnovers anymore. Rosen has proven that maybe the personality thing is something to be very leery of, more so than any of what
Baker's done.
You
didn't like
him
saying he wanted to win more Super Bowls than Tom Brady?
Yeah, did it not feel drum up to you? Did it not feel insincere? It felt to me like this is your counter public relations move to what your coaches said about you last week.
It actually felt honest to me. Like
really?
It felt like a moment of raw honesty, of raw bravado. Part of it is also listening to his press conference at the Combine. There's an unfiltered nature to Josh Rosen, and I'm okay with that. I think that Josh Rosen is authentic.
I don't care if he says it. I just would have liked to have heard it before your coaches basically said, yeah, we think he loves football. We're not sure, though.
Well, it's also it's putting a lot on the line for him, because if he doesn't succeed as an NFL quarterback, that quote is going to be tattooed to him for the rest of his life.
Lives in infamy.
I mean, look, we still remember when Mike Bell said he thought he could gain 2,000 yards in a season, and he was an undrafted guy.
He didn't even make it through four games as the starter that year.
Yeah, exactly. And
so it's not the greatest idea to put that out there, but I don't care that he feels that way. So what? You better feel that way.
I'm a writer, and I'm going to remember these things. But if you know what, I also say this, and you know the old cliche, shoot for the moon. If you miss, you'll land among the stars.
Well,
aim high.
We all don't want the quarterback going, I'd probably go with someone else. I don't know that I'm really as good as some of these guys. Nobody wants anybody saying that. Because, I mean, look, Josh Allen's already said it. Baker Mayfield's already said it. You know, Darnold doesn't seem to be talking as much in the media. I'm sure he'd say it, though, if you got him in the right moment. I do have to ask you, though, with Woody Johnson of the Jets, the owner of the Jets, meeting Baker Mayfield, I find it funny. Clearly the Jets' goal was to get ahead of the Broncos, and the Broncos most this offseason have been attached to Baker Mayfield. Do you think the Woody Johnson meeting proves their interest in Baker Mayfield, or was that just something that went down?
Depends. Has he met with other quarterbacks and we haven't learned that yet?
Yeah, that's a great question. Tyler pretty much asked me the same thing. I don't know the answer.
I mean,
and has Baker met with every owner that he's gone to the team
visits
to as well?
There's some pub about, the Broncos haven't met with Bradley Chubb. We don't know that.
Right.
Not everything leaks out.
Well, and sometimes you purposely do that because you don't want people to be on to who you're on to. Remember, Jay Cutler famously said, I never even talked to these guys when before getting drafted by the Broncos. He had zero idea Mike Shanahan knew who he was.
That
now,
can be
I
a little bit
this
dangerous,
could be a little
though.
Extreme here. So
that can be a little bit dangerous, though. I would say the way to go about it is make sure that you've got 30 visits, and you're sitting there, you're the Broncos at number 5. Visit with all the guys who could conceivably be there. Then they don't know. And then that's quarterbacks, but could be Chubb, could be Denzel Ward, could be Derwin James out of Florida State, Saquon Barkley. And, again, we're not going to find out all of who they visited with before the draft. And that's okay.
I just can't wait for the draft. Can I just tell
you're
that?
You're sick of it?
I'm a little tired of the speculation because, like, we got a guy today on our text line saying all your show is what if, what if, what if, what if right now. Yeah, you know what? That's all we've got because I've got to lay out off because, you know what, there's 4 other scenarios that could play out before you get a pick at 5. I don't know what else to tell you. What if Chubb is gone? What if Saquon's there? What if he isn't there? What if Mayfield's there? What if Darnold's there? What if none of them are there? That's all we have left to discuss right now. I cannot wait to get to the period where we're talking camps and practices and OTAs and we actually know who the team is.
And then you're dreading after OTAs.
I am. But let's be honest about it, Andrew. You and I have chatted about this. We've all kind of chatted about this off air. Unfortunately, because of the way last year went, we've been in player acquisition mode since December,
yes.
Which never happens for this team.
We turned the page. We really started turning the page after the Raider game and then really turned it after the Miami game. It's like, okay, fine. And
yeah.
Then it sort of hit its apex or its valley, depending on your perspective, when the Broncos played the Redskins and basically our station became Kirk Cousins 760.
Yeah, and then everybody started recruiting Kirk from there. The Bronco Twitter recruitment from the players began right then.
And it didn't work out. But, hey, you know what? You're going to get a look at Kirk Cousins in week 1 of the preseason,
yeah.
Followed by Chicago coming to Denver in week 2. Get a look at Mitchell Trubisky. I think that's going to be a good game. And if things work out for joint practices, a good week. Because Chicago is going to do a lot of things offensively there, analogous to what the Chiefs do. Because Matt Nagy is now the head coach in Chicago. I mean, a lot, using players as chess pieces. Different formations, that sort of thing. I think that's going to help the Broncos in the regular season, having the Bears come in for that second week. And then, of course, followed by Washington and Arizona.
If the Broncos draft Baker Mayfield, who basically asked the Bears for an explanation as to why you'd want to meet with me at the combine, you just drafted a guy a year ago, it could be a little hot. It could be a little saucy that week. Could have a little fun. Huh? Little extra storyline. We'll take it.
Actually, if the Bears are in for practice, I hope that the practices are open to the fans. Because there's a lot of Chicago fans in Denver. And it would be a pretty lively scene on the hillside.
Just bring me a deep dish pizza is all I'm requesting. Then you can get in.
There are some deep dish places in the Denver area that can take care of that for you.
But there's not a Lou Malnati's. There's not a Geno's, right? Is Geno's one of them?
No, but you can get Geno's East. I think there's some Geno's Easts in
But that's a Philly cheesesteak, isn't it?
No, Geno's cheesesteak. Geno's East is the pizza joint in Chicago. Geno's is one of the cheesesteak places in Philly.
What's the one we all went to by the hotel the last couple years when we played in the preseason? What's the other big deep dish place that's there?
Oh, gosh. Giordano's.
Giordano's. Thank you.
Giordano's.
That's where we were, yeah.
I've had Giordano's in Florida. They have some outlets in Florida.
Yeah, I don't think I'd want a big, thick pie when it's 95 degrees.
Well, you go in the summertime or the wintertime. I went in February.
Do you have a nice lobster roll in Florida? Could I try that?
It's more of a Maine thing. Actually, though, I'll correct you on that. I had a very good lobster roll on the day before the Broncos-Dolphins game at a place just by Fort Lauderdale Beach.
Do you remember when – I remember when we all went down for the Tebow game. I call it the Tebow game, but it was back in 2011, and the Broncos played the Dolphins. And, frankly, we thought the Broncos were about to give the Dolphins their first win, and the Broncos were going to lose, and they'd be ahead in the Andrew Luck Derby that year. didn't work out that way because Tim Tebow did some incredible things late in the game, where even Daniel Fells was asking me before his player interview, as we stood in the middle of the Dolphins logo, what the heck just happened? And the language is frankly stronger than that, because he could not believe that we'd won that game and we were flying home with a win.
Only but you game and I've nearly fallen asleep at in the fourth quarter in the press box when it was 15-0 and it was dull. And I could feel myself nodding off a little bit.
Oh, man, you wanted a nap so bad, didn't you? But I tell
and
you what.
And then, boom.
We all went out and we hit the town for two nights, if you remember. You, me, Chris Hall, mm-hmm. took in some of the local fare.
Actually, Jim Sacamano and I on Saturday, we went over to to Marlins Park when it was under construction. Got the tour, hard hats and everything.
See, I just remember you, me, Chris, and Becca Villanueva finding some of the saddest nightlife ever that Miami had to offer. I can't remember where we were, but we went into a club that had about three people in it, and while dance music blared, some guy was playing shuffleboard, and I thought, yeah, all right, we're really in the hot part of town.
That's another part of Florida. Hey, you weren't in Miami Beach. You were in Fort Lauderdale Beach.
It's
a little bit of a different vibe there.
Yeah, they weren't looking for the club music anyway.
No. Well, the club music maybe from the 1970s.
But we had the club to ourselves.
Yeah.
We all could have danced. Now, it should be noted we chose not to. But we could have danced, Andrew Mason.
I spared everyone that.
And next time. Yeah. Next time.
So, yeah.
I want to see the Costanza, whatever that would be.
The Elaine Benes, the little kicks.
Yeah, there you go.
The full body dry heave set to music. By the way, before we move on from the preseason, Denver has not played a preseason game in Washington since 1973 until this summer. And that, I got to say, that seems like a really long trip for the preseason.
Do you feel like maybe did this preseason schedule, because the third game is against the Redskins in Washington, did the NFL think they knew where Kirk Cousins was going? Is that how that got set up?
I don't know.
Huh? Doesn't it feel a little odd? We never play Washington in the third game of the regular. We never play Washington, period.
Change things up a little bit.
I just feel like someone thought they were clever and maybe, you know.
It also means two consecutive road trips for the Broncos to D.C. because their last road trip of 2017 was to Washington.
What, you know what? Last time we did that, if you can remember, well, not consecutive, but the last time we had a late season matchup, and then they began the preseason there was Chicago, where it was -9 in 2015. And then I think it was like 100 degrees. It was literally like 100 degrees warmer when we went back.
It was -9 wing chill. I think the air temperature was like 31 degrees.
Yeah, I was on the field. It was plenty
sure
cold, my friend.
Yeah, I know.
I don't care what it was.
It snowed the day before.
Did it snow? Oh, you're right.
Remember we had to circle around. We had to circle around like southern Wisconsin, northern Illinois, waiting for a window to land.
I do now.
And I remember looking at the map that when you're on a plane, of course, you can see the map that you're taking, and just seeing we're making these perfect circles. I'm like, and I thought to myself, it's impressive how close to the exact line that we're staying on each time we go around.
You just went and put it in an autopilot, turned it left like a NASCAR race.
It looked like a NASCAR track. It really did when you saw it on the map. Anyway, so Washington preseason week three. I'm not going to do much with Arizona preseason week four because we know what the last preseason game is. You're just trying to get through.
Now you got me kind of rooting for it to all of a sudden turn around and be the old double-decker. Back-to-back Arizona trips. That'd be fun.
It'd be goofy, but what the heck?
Why not?
I'm all for a little chaos. Actually, let me say this, Andy, before we go. With the regular season schedule coming out soon, who do you want to see week one? And then who do you not want to see?
Just for the Broncos standpoint?
Just in general, in all aspects. Who do you want to see, and then who do you not want to see?
I'll tell you this. I think your back-to-back road trips could be right, just because I think the Broncos are due to open away. They open at home pretty much all throughout the Manning era.
Yep.
So I think we're going to get an away opener. And I've got to remember who's on the schedule. I don't want to go to San Fran because of the potential of heat there. Now, which two NFC West teams are we visiting? Because the Rams come here.
San Fran and Arizona.
Both come here. Okay, so those are the road trips.
Those are the road trips.
See, I will tell you that Arizona is not a bad one to pick, Andrew, because that's an indoor facility, so you have air-controlled climate. You've got Seattle and the Rams coming here. I don't want to see the Rams here because I don't want to play that roster healthy, which they very well could be coming out of training camp. I mean, it could be a monster. I'm hoping that by the time you face the Rams, they're a little beat up, and maybe the circus came to town like we thought, and the locker room's a little nutty. You know what? Why not just get John Gruden and the Raiders out of the way?
Monday night, maybe.
The late Monday night matchup.
It can be here or there. Doesn't matter. I wouldn't mind seeing that in week one. The one that I do not want to see, Cleveland.
Really? Interesting. Why is that?
I don't want to see Cleveland until they've won a game. Because here's what happens. Let's say you get into a tight game against the Browns, who are on this losing streak that dates back to week 17 of the 2016 season. Then it's sort of like in the NCAA tournament. You're a high seed against a low seed. And I think Cleveland's going to be much better anyway than the team was last year. Things go wrong. You get a little bit nervous. Browns start believing.
Bless you. Whoa. Okay, we're going to let Andrew Mason handle a couple things as he had the big sneeze. Andrew, I'll give you another reason, and this will surprise some folks, as to the Cleveland thing is interesting because, again, you don't want the crowd kind of building into the game, even though you think you'd be able to actually kind of kill the spirit well. But another team that I wouldn't mind seeing possibly as the opener, and this will shock a few people, and I'll let Andrew finish his Cleveland point in a second, but I'd also throw out there, I wouldn't mind going to the Chiefs and just getting that out of the way and facing them when they have no tape on you. Because honestly, with Case Keenum, you don't really know completely what kind of office you're going to get. But back to your point, you don't want to see Cleveland and have a game all of a sudden and the fans are treating it like the Super Bowl.
Even though it would be in Denver.
Let me throw this at you. Yes. What about the Kansas City game? What about just getting them out of the way and surprising them with no tape on you? Because, look, it's a game you usually lose anyway. Why not just get it
Patrick
out of the way
early? Patrick Mahomes' second career start. So the Chiefs will be a bit of the unknown, too.
Well, but is the kid ready? Maybe he's not settled in. You know what I mean? I just say get it out of the way and maybe get a surprise victory there. That could be a Sunday night game.
I'll tell you what, if by chance the Broncos were on Sunday night to open the season, I don't think they will be. But if they were, Pittsburgh would be a candidate. That's another game I want to get out of the way.
That's a good call. My guess, though, is you're opening on the road. Don't you think so?
Yeah. It might, it might be an early game. It might be Baltimore or Cincinnati, perhaps.
You know what? I'd get Baltimore out of the way, too, just for the sake of, I don't think it could be overly hot there. You have some destinations in the Midwest where it could not be a fun day to be playing football.
Yeah. Get those over. Well, Baltimore on the East Coast, Cincinnati in the Midwest. Yeah.
Since it could be muggy and gross.
Or how about the Jets?
Why not? Now, that could be a fun game. That could be a real fun game because both teams will be showing off likely new quarterbacks, we think. Well, or it could just be McCown against Keenum, and there you go.
Well, the other thing, what if the Jets get Baker Mayfield and he's a starter by then?
Well.
Oh, man. I don't even want to think about that.
That breaks your heart. I think I just saw a tear.
Do you remember on The Simpsons when Ralph Wiggum went to the Krusty the Clown show with Lisa? And
I do not.
Anyway, they're watching it on – Lisa and Bart are watching it after because Lisa tells Ralph, no, I don't like you. No, I never like you. And then Bart says, if you watch this here, Lisa, you can see the moment his heart actually tears in half.
That's you. That was just you. 2 weeks, we find out. Two weeks.
I know. Hey, I'm sold on the guy. I admit.
Do you have a Baker Mayfield jersey in your house? Just be honest with me. Have you already bought one?
No.
You're lying to me. You won't look at me in the eye. You're lying to me right now.
Nor will I. I have a Leroy Selman Bucks jersey, and that's it when it comes to football. Baseball, I got a Chipper Jones, Freddie Freeman, Phil Niekro.
Do you have a Bobby the Buck
Henry Aaron
on that jersey?
Actually, the one I would like to get somehow made is when the Braves in 1976 put nicknames on the back of the jerseys, and they just signed Andy Messersmith in free agency. And his nickname, they decided, was going to be Channel, and his number was 17, because WTBS in Atlanta, which Ted Turner owned, was Channel 17.
You're killing me. That's why it's Petey the Pirate. I am not going to – Bobby the Buck. I'm not going to –
Bucko Bruce.
I'm going to make you break. I'm going to make you break. I refuse to call him by his proper name.
Too late.
And somehow every
podcast – I don't
think
it was that proper. I think it was an insult.
Somehow, every podcast I'm bringing up Bobby the Bucko or whatever he is. So just watch for it.
For Andy Lindahl, I'm Andrew Mason. We'll pick this up next week when hopefully we'll be talking about the regular season schedule. Talk to you then.